Welcome back to the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I am CJ. We got full house again, joined by Tommy and JB Husker. Guys, how's it going?
Going pretty good. Online Dynasty that we're all in is kind of just finished up the first season. It's we've just are wrapping up the coaching carousel, moving on to Stanford right here. So got to rock the tree behind me. So ready to go.
The boring carousel. I got offered Tommy's old job. I said no.
You want sloppy seconds or what?
No, I don't. I'm gonna stay a cowboy.
Well, good luck with that one.
Yeah, I need it.
A lot to get to tonight on this episode. Since we last talked to the community, we had title update number 3, 1.007. We won't get into the big details of that, but we'll talk about some things that got fixed that we knew about, some things that we didn't, community reaction. Before that, let's talk about some game news that came out, not from EA, but from Alinea Analytics. They talked about College World 26 topped the charts in July. I don't think that's a big surprise. It is interesting, though, to dig through these numbers and the information, because I think you can take it as great news and bad news all at once. I don't think it's bad for the title, though. Via Reese Elliott of Alinea Analytics, College World 26 was downloaded 3.1 million times in July, including 1.9 million times or 1.9 million copies in that first week following launch. Using the math, we know on PlayStation, they kind of say it was the top title. Using the math, it's pretty safe to say Xbox, it was the top title in July as well. They had information for PlayStation, Xbox, and Steam, and it was number 3, which is interesting because it's not even on Steam, so it's competing with a lot of PC games that it wouldn't be competing with otherwise. I suppose you want to look at the bad, and I wouldn't say it's bad news, but maybe more realistic numbers. It only sold about one-third as fast as College Football 25, which I think is more indicative of that hype behind 25 versus any flaws or trailing on 26. But we did have in that EA earnings call just a few weeks ago, Andrew Wilson talked about the game was reflecting a more normal demand curve. And I think that's very much what we're seeing.
Yeah, I mean, July was pretty much outside of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4, Ready or Not is been kind of a shooter that's been kind of growing some steam, no pun intended. But yeah, it was pretty light week or pretty light month comparatively speaking to August and what's coming later on this year. So, you know, it's kind of at the right time for them too, but I don't think, you know, we all knew this was coming. We all knew this was coming just because, you know, we were waiting for so long for last year. Now, a lot of those casuals are not going to buy it every year, just the diehards. And so I think it's still a good success. You know, obviously a lot of people played it, the download there with EA Play. But the sales, I think, are pretty good right there in July. So though it was against lesser competition, I still think that the game performed well in terms of overall sales.
I say I will be curious to kind of see, does next year or 2 years from now have a bump in numbers for those people that only want to buy it every 2 or 3 years, you know, that kind of thing. Does it kind of have a recurring cycle like that, or are there going to be a bunch of people that said, I'm happy with the game and, you know, I'll buy it in 5 years or never again or whatever they decide, you know?
He has some numbers on the user base, at least on the PlayStation side. 95% of the PlayStation 5 players played College Bowl 25. 67% played Madden 25, meaning there's all about, you know, 33% that did not play Madden last year, that bought the game and did not play Madden. That's a pretty significant group. This is where he shares that thing about a third as fast as 25 did. He expects an increase when the real world season comes out. That'll be interesting to see if that comes to fruition. I wonder how Madden will fare. It's one of those that did a rising tide lift all boats last year. Will the Madden numbers stay steady from last year? Will they see a decrease? I have no prediction on that front. I'm just interested to see when we get the August numbers how Madden fares.
To me, I think the life cycle of the game, it only is going to increase after launch if it's very successful and very stable and it, you know, does something that's surprising that people don't expect. So, you know, give people a reason to buy it, and even just stability in the game and being everything that was advertised is, you know, a reason to buy it in some cases. So again, I think word of mouth is what kind of, you know, continue to increase the sales after launch.
Do you think that happened? Do you think that's going to be the case?
I don't know.
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I have not played Madden at all. College football? No, I think honestly, and I think we're going to touch on this later, but honestly, I think it's soured a lot of the community. So, I'm sure there will be some sales when the season starts, but at the same time, I don't think it will be a huge uptick.
Yeah, like the publications are kind of mixed on Madden. I've seen IGN really praise it, but then I've seen other publications not really praise it. I've played one game of Madden so far. It plays faster, I could tell you that much. It plays a lot faster than college football, at least in the first game that I played. I just played pro and simulation out of the box with Bears and Bills. I did tonight's matchup that's getting started here in a little bit on Sunday, August 17th. So I kind of just played that, whatever you call it, their play now and play what's coming up next with that team. I didn't, didn't see anything glaring. It'll be interesting to go into franchise because actually 25 is probably the least played Madden for me in a long, long time. I didn't really touch franchise as much, so maybe I'll try to get back into that and see. Especially, I want to kind of do a road to glory and have him see it all the way through too, through its career. But gosh, sometimes it's a slog considering high school is fun and college is not on road to glory. And then I've really not done much on superstar mode and Madden ever and playing it. So.
I've heard some say that superstar mode redeems Road to Glory, but that could just been one person's take. I don't know if that's a universal or community-wide take.
Yeah, now obviously, the meta score, Madden's always going to get trashed in the user score, so it's not really a good indicator of things. I wish there was a way to kind of fan out, like, way to kind of separate those out, but it's pretty much impossible. Have you heard anything from the community in terms of Madden so far with the world launch here coming out the other day?
My perception is that this is just quick perception reading online, that generally I think they like the game, think it's a good game. Stop me if this sounds familiar. Some bugs and issues. The Madden Championship Series had issues with their ladder system that started this weekend. So very similar to, I think, to college football, that there's things people like, then also some bugs and issues that really, if you run into them, sours your experience pretty quickly.
A $250,000 tournament having issues. That's real good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a lot of money on the line, and you got to rely on EA's coding to win it, part of it. So,
Especially at launch, that's pretty risky.
I agree.
With any game,
I mean,
really.
yeah, no, absolutely. And that's the thing is that yes, right now I think people are happy, more or less with Madden, but it's, kind of like with college football, how does it fare in a couple of weeks when the next, patches start rolling out and, things like that.
Honeymoon
So,
period's over.
yeah, we're still in the first. The global launch, we're less than a week, Madden just was a Thursday when the global launch happened. The week before was the pre-order hype or bonus MVP bundle. So it's very early for
Absolutely.
perceptions. As we mentioned to start the show on August 6th, we had title update number 3, as they call it, 1.007. We're not going to go through all the patch notes because by now everybody listening to us has probably played it. They probably have their opinions. They've probably read a lot about it. Maybe just from an overview. I think the big aspect was the improved blocking. People wanted blocking to get improved, especially a lot of people didn't like the pass rush. Some felt it was too strong. The run blocking, a good number of people felt that it wasn't up to par. So, just off the top of your head, guys, how do you feel about the blocking in this patch? What did it do for you guys in your game?
I know a lot of people seem to celebrate it like it's a big change, but in my opinion, it from my experience, it didn't change a whole lot. I mean, I had pretty good blocking before, and I have pretty good blocking now. So, I'm glad that other people see a difference, but to me, I don't see any major difference.
I had very much struggled with running in our dynasty with Wyoming. And after that patch, all of a sudden I was starting to get 100 and 150 yard games. So I don't know if that's just luck or what, or if it was the patch, but I know my success with running the ball definitely increased after that patch.
So I think my best running games came after this patch, though I've had a few clunkers. And I did feel, I think it was my second game, maybe after the patch in a dynasty, was the best one. I had 240, I believe, give or take. I was seeing, in my perception in that game, blocks being held longer at the line, some impact blocks at the line, which I hadn't really seen a lot of before. But again, I think a lot of that was down to the matchups. And I know we've talked about this on previous episodes. I think the game, what the developers tried to do is make the ratings matter. So I think there's that gap. You see it, but if you're playing someone equal or someone better than you, I'm talking at least computer rating wise, it probably didn't help you much. So that's where I see it. If it's a mismatch, I think there's a better chance of it getting exploited or seeing that benefit there. Overall, I think it's better. But then, like you guys said, it's the more you play the game, the more you get better at it, period. So I don't know if it's the blocking that made me better or just me figuring out what plays work and don't work, understand my roster better, reading the blocking assignments and pre-snap better. There could be a lot of factors. I think it's better. I don't know that it's worlds better, but I do think it improved via this update.
Well,
Yeah,
like
I mean,
some of the things I had the most success on were straight up the middle, which I did not have earlier. I had wide lanes up the middle that I did not see, and that's not really getting better at the game. That's the game giving you a lane to actually run into rather than just getting crushed at the line. So I think there was something to it, at least up the middle with improvements, because that's the majority of my breakouts would come from right up the middle.
I do know from the community aspect, it seems like those that were complaining before at least have toned down their complaints. It doesn't seem like they're as vocal as that on that as much as they were before. So yeah, I mean, I think it's improved, but again, I didn't have any major issues before, so I still don't have any major issues now.
Of course, every update EA puts out, I don't think it's a big secret that there are things in the patch notes that they say get fixed, really don't, and there are things they add in there that don't get included in the patch notes. We'll go through some of these real quick. They mentioned that Central Michigan had new helmets. They're in the game. I look at Kansas's new field art, and that's something we mentioned on the previous show. They've removed the Duke logo from the Marshall collars. So thank goodness, if you're a Marshall fan, you actually have your real uniforms in the game. You're no longer the Marshall Thundering Blue Devils. Something else they added is the Jet Award that our friend of the show, Michael Sevier, the executive director of the Jet Award, that's in the game. The Sean Alexander Award is in the game. But what's weird, and I haven't checked lately, but at least the first few days after the patch, I noticed, you could go to the trophy room for the menu and see the Jet Award, a spot for it, but you could not see the Sean Alexander. But you will see it in Dynasty if you go to like the award finalist. It shows up there, but it's not tracking it, at least from the main menu at last check.
And they're at the very bottom of the dynasty. Like when you go searching for the award, finalists or semifinalists, they just tacked it on the bottom. So if you're wondering why the order looks so weird, that they just added it there.
They added some five new mascots, but as you noticed here, they're not always showing up, and I can't quite figure out the pattern. Initially, the community thought, okay, if you do a play now, you don't see it. If you do a dynasty, you do see it. Well, since this has happened, I've seen them in play now. I've also not seen them in play now. Some people are saying they're in a dynasty, they don't see them. So I don't know the rhyme or reason. Hopefully, a future update will actually provide those new mascots for everybody, not just
Yeah.
on a random basis.
Maybe their mascot's John Cena.
I still can't see them. They did it. This is something that was not in the patch notes, which is interesting because it was a pretty big community complaint. I don't know why you wouldn't want to run and take credit for this. They added a music notification position. That is so when you're in Dynasty and you're in recruiting and the deal breakers would get covered up by the UI telling you what the new song that was playing in the background for the EA tracks. So now you can either disable it or change the location for it.
So
Something
one of the
that.
options, GTFO.
No, I think it's well,
Oh.
there's off. That's close
Yeah, as I
enough.
say, more or less there is, yeah.
Yeah, actually, there is.
Tommy can now recruit in peace.
Yes.
Something good they added, and this is, I'm going to give a comparison example here. This is something I actually noticed recently. This is something that EA actually put out pre-release marketing the title in the Dynasty blog, talking about the staff moves and tracking, which is great. There was a bug that it would show their career record when it's supposed to be showing the record with the current team. As part of this update, that is fixed. You can see the example here with Jonathan Smith has this Michigan State record and his overall record because he was at Oregon State before. So they got that straightened out. That's great. Happened to notice today, and I don't know if this was ever right, but I have a feeling that this is a recent development. Matt Rhule, the good, they increased or changed his face again, getting him more realistic. I mean, that's a pretty good one. So they did include his history. First couple years in Nebraska, Baylor, Temple. This is just his 2025 sim. This is at the end of the year one in a dynasty. So this is what you're looking at. They have the 7-5 record. They forgot his career backstory.
That's po this is post patch.
Yes, and I'm
Oh.
not sure it was ever right. Then I think about it, but I went through all the other coaches say in the carousel that it moved or changed, and they had it. So it's wrong. I don't know if it's 1.07 wrong or if it was launch wrong, but it's wrong.
One step forward, two steps back.
Yeah. We asked the community, what were their thoughts on this title update number 3? Did the blocking, coverage, and presentation improvements boost your experience? Did Ro Dynasty and Road of Glory fixes improve those modes, and what do you want to see in the next update? So we'll go through this. Stogie O'Shea says, I have been lacking the enthusiasm to play. I try hoping some fun will return to the game. It's just not there. I can hear the get goods out there. I have no issue in winning online. It just feels like a constant grind. I have likened it to Unlimited in past years of 2K. Same scenario, no problem winning, just constantly searching for fun. I quit 2K in 24. I sincerely hope that doesn't happen with college football. And I do want to bring up, before we get to this overall point, I do want to bring up one minor thing. He mentioned here about the, I do see a lot of that too. People will go on Reddit or go on X or, reply to somebody and say they're having a problem with the game. They don't like the certain aspect and they get mad with, oh, you just got to get better. You just got to get good. Is that part of it? Maybe. I'm not saying it's 0%, but that's not everything. I mean, there's issues with the game. It's not always
Yeah.
the user has to go buy an ebook or spend 100 hours to get better. Some of it is, okay, maybe EA needs to get better or get good as well. So it's, I, but I do see his point though that with any sports game, if it gets too repetitive, that fun can go away pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I'm definitely can see myself there as well. If I didn't have a user online dynasty, I probably would not be as invested in the game as I am today. To me, it's the fun of competing against other guys and, keeping things fresh there and, just being able to enjoy it. And then as well, it helps slow you down. Whereas if you're a solo dynasty, you're probably playing games quickly, you're simming some games in between, that kind of thing. This allows you to slow down and kind of, enjoy it a little bit more and, look around more than you just advance to the next week. So, I'm not saying that's the answer, but definitely, part of EA, they have to make it more enjoyable, more competitive, more, realistic, more make the computer better at competing against you instead of just the same old, random pick a play from the coach suggestions.
John Miles says, I don't know. I still haven't gotten a cut because money's been tight. Hopefully that changes soon. Moose says, playing Madden. He's not the only one in this thread that says that they, when they went to Madden, haven't really come back to college football. CK Stream says, auto-generated coaches opening better archetypes when available. I'll scream from the rooftops. Immersion is virtually cooked 15 years in when Dabo and Garrett Riley and Tom Allen are all level 100 with matched, excuse me, with maxed architect and strategist. Well, my coach is maxing out motivator. That is interesting that they seem to be immortal.
Yeah, well, to me, that's part of it, but I think more what he's saying is they don't increase their levels in other areas.
They don't open up new
That's
things, basically.
exactly. That's one of the biggest issues with the computer user or a player progression, but then also the coach progression. If they have points, they spend it. That's all. Just on the cheapest thing available, they'll spend points just to spend them instead of trying to save and invest and say, oh, I see that CEO is better, so let me save up and go that route or whatever route they decide to go. It's just they spend money or spend points on whatever they have open.
The community saw this, but there was a, it came out in the past week that, they have the three coach pictures for the different coach types. And for motivator, they have Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame, and he doesn't actually have motivator unlocked. And going to CK's point here, he will never unlock, actually unlock motivator.
Yep.
Little White Owl says trash, and the amount of people online proves it. I have not heard actually any online numbers, so I don't know. I'm gonna be ignorant on that one. I don't know if there's been a massive drop, but if the game was did 1/3 of 25, I would guess online numbers are probably 1/3 as of 25. Chester Copperpot says blocking improved. Still a little too dress shoes on ice with movement. Zone coverage is still a little poor. Still fun to play, but mad movement and zone coverage would be a huge boost. Time to take NIU to the championship.
I haven't played Madden at all. I mean, is there huge movement difference or zone coverage or anything like that? That, I mean, I don't, I've not seen it advertised as much. I know that they did things like, the coaches are supposed to be more intelligent, but even then, I think they still struggle. But the weather, other than that, I'm not sure what the big leaps forward are in terms of movement and zone coverage that he's referring to.
I haven't played it either, so I would be lying if I made any guesses on that.
Yeah.
Mr. Mojo 74 says blocking is better, maybe a little too much better in some instances. Crowd noise is more reactive in the right moments now, in my opinion. Sliders have helped more than any update for me, though. The crowd noise aspect is interesting. I've heard from several people that they felt that, especially in those big games, the big moment crowd is better because they wondered if EA addressed that. I don't know, I guess I haven't played in a massively big game since that patch came out, but if that is true, that's a great addition.
I will say, to me, the toughest places to play in the stadium noise, to me, it's not as effective as it should be. Perfect example is when I played LSU, they were pretty much silent after the first quarter. Same thing for in our dynasty. We had a guy that played at Tennessee, and even late in the third quarter, when they're up by a touchdown, they're still not getting that loud. To me, that should be in a college football playoff, playing at Tennessee, you should basically barely be able to see the screen because it's shaking so bad. To me, they need to do more there. And I don't know what the logic is or where it's failing, but it doesn't seem as scary as kind of what they've made it out to sound like.
J. Crew says, I'm loving the game. I'm just calling on better computer recruiting and more logic in recruiting. There shouldn't be so many players entering the portal and signing nowhere. A team like Georgia Southern should not be a 60 overall year two. I think those are all excellent points.
I will say one of the big additions to the patch is that more players start with open recruiting in the portal now. So, in theory, there should be less players that never sign in the off season, but at the same time, I'm sure there's still plenty as well. But yeah, a team like Georgia Southern dropping to 60 overall when they start probably like around a 70, yeah, that definitely should not happen. That's one of the things that the computer recruiting has always been awful. That's something that they really, really, really do need to put some attention to. But then as well for the transfer portal, you have to make adjustments. For us, I think we're on 40% for both CPU and compute or user and computer, and then for maximum of 15 players. So I think that'll probably be a pretty good, but we will wait and see after the off season here.
And something we noticed when you get to the end of the year one recruit, I was looking at the early signing day results and sorted just by number of total recruits. Arizona dead last in the country, zero players signed before early signing day. Just above them, Louisville with one, and Louisville had like a 9-3 or 10-3 season. So I really don't see like what failed there, because that's awful. College football enthusiast says, I was telling someone that I enjoyed playing Madden 26, but I don't play it as much as College Football 26. When I find time, I'm 3 to 4 games in, forcing myself to call it quits. I love college football, the crowds, bands, pageantry, non-conference scheduling, uniforms, recruiting, and game style. Do you think a lot of that comes down to just what maybe you're more of a fan of? If you're more of a fan of college, you're willing to, you want to play college football more. If you're a
Oh,
fan
I'm
of
sure. I
equal, I'm
mean,
sure it's probably easier to pick the better one if you like both.
yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. I think if it were night and day difference, like a totally different experience, then yeah, I could see you leaning towards the better one. Especially if you're on the fence about either one. But yeah, definitely for me, I play college football because I love college football. I watch NFL, but not nearly as much as I do college football. I'll spend all day, I'll say all Saturday on the couch watching football, whereas Sunday I'm out and about, that kind of thing. So I'm sure that's plays a big part of it as well. The gameplay itself is at least, on similar levels. So it's not like a night and day difference, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm completely the opposite. I watch a lot more NFL than I do college, but I play more college than at least last year. Definitely, I played a lot more college than NFL than Madden. So,
TW says, yes, the design director, Scott O'Gallagher, please add Spotify, please, I beg you. I'm not opposed to that, because we had that, before launch, that video of Kurt Benkert, and it looked like he had some kind of Spotify integration with his game that didn't come to fruition for the rest of us. But can't you use the app on your console and listen to Spotify as you play, or is that different? I can't say I've ever looked into it.
well, you can. The difference is that if you do that, it'll continue to play whenever you go into your like into play a game. Whereas I think for this integration, it would be just like the menu music. It would stop once you go into the actual
Gotcha.
game. So, I mean, you can obviously always pause it and do all that, but at the same time, I would like that just from the standpoint of no, you play your own soundtrack, and then when you're in the menus, and then when you're out of the menus, you're playing the regular sounds of the game.
Got it. Lying season is over. It says, I wouldn't know. EA servers been down and remain down. It's weird, the number of people who still have connection issues, the people who have crashes going on, that, knock on wood, I haven't had a lot of those. Crashes, I've had zero of, disconnection issues, not very many. It seems like it's still a relatively big issue. Are you guys seeing that same perception as well? I'm not saying it's a majority, but still a sizable issue out there.
I've not seen a lot of complaints about the servers being down or anything like that. A couple of people I've seen complain about that their Dynasty is no longer loadable after, like, I think the second patch or something. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but that their online Dynasty says, this Dynasty is not available. Please try again later, basically, or something like that. And it's done that for weeks. So I don't know if that's what he's seeing in this case or not, but. Yeah, I've not had any issues with joining the servers or anything like that.
The one thing, the big issue I've seen a lot of is in Road to Glory that people are losing their play selection. Isn't that, if I, the way I understand, if you select to add more or see more plays, they just lose their entire ability to pick a play. That's a bad one.
That was introduced in the latest patch. Yeah, that to me that's awful. Again, they introduced a huge game breaking bug for anybody who's a big Road to Glory fan. That to me, that ruins the experience.
And I'm kind of surprised we didn't have it. What's the update? It's been over 10 days ago, but 10 people here, it's gonna be 11, 12 days, and there still hasn't been a fix. I'm still seeing people talk about it. I'm kind of
Yeah.
surprised that wasn't hot fixed through right away.
I agree. I would expect it like within a week or so. I
At
mean, I
least.
haven't seen a ton of people vocal about it. I did initially after the patch launch, but after that, I haven't seen a whole lot about it. But I would expect probably, this next Thursday, that EA will have their next patch. That'd be August the 21st. That's just a guess, but that's kind of been their 2 week cycle, it seems. I would guess it's probably a smaller patch, but still, maybe it'll fix something like that.
What's our guess on the roster update? That's the big question I've been seeing a lot. I try to remember from last year. I think they waited till what, week zero or week one, and this upcoming is week zero, but they may wait until, I don't know, is there a chance this is a week, or are we still 2 weeks away from it?
It could be this week. I would think EA would want to tie that in with a bigger patch, but at the same time, maybe they do that with, a fixed patch and, oh, by the way, here's your new rosters or something. So they don't necessarily have to go hand in hand. They can, be launched at any time. So, yeah, I'll be curious to see how EA handles that.
As Elf Commissioner says, curious and others' thoughts on the running game. Only able to get one game in since, but didn't notice any major difference. We kind of talked about to start with. Star Screamer shows him getting ready to uninstall his copy of the game. So I'm guessing he's not really on board with what Title Update 3 did. Kenny Max says blocking is still atrocious. Pass and run both are awful and just reminds me how frustrating EA football games can be. I know we talked about we thought the run game generally was better, at least to some extent. What do you guys think about the pass blocking, at least for the computer? And I know we're using some sliders, but it seems like late since this patch, the sack numbers have really gone up, especially for user against computer.
I think that was even before the patch, though. Like in my first game against Minnesota, I think I had 7 sacks or something like that, and that was before the first patch. So, or before the first big patch, I guess. So yeah, I mean, I've seen it kind of stay steady throughout the online dynasty for us. I don't think it's made a huge difference, but at the same time, it is poor from the standpoint of all of the leading sacks are from user teams, and by a large margin at that.
Do you think that's a blocking issue, or is that a computer being ignorant issue?
Probably a little both, if I had to guess. Honestly, I don't have the answer. It's the computer has to make better decisions for sure, though.
I think part is that it's where the computer sometimes is so excellent at, like, they can do things we can't do. Like, they can throw the ball away when we can't throw it away, or they can get a pass off and we can't get it off. But there's also times where they should do something and don't do something. It's just like the logic, they just can't get the right logic with the computer.
Yeah, it's like I had trouble just getting the ball off early on. Still do at times, but yeah, my sacks were like very minimal. But yeah, I noticed later in the season I'd get, a lot, sometimes up to 10 sacks in a game. Same guy getting 3.5 or 4. Noticed that a little bit more towards the end of the season compared to early on. One thing I've not really seen much of, and maybe it's just my players because it's a lower ranked team, but I've not seen many interceptions this year compared to last.
No, I don't think there is.
Yeah, there's definitely fewer, and that obviously goes the no eyes, no pick sort of thing, but at the same time, I think there should be more, but at the same time, maybe it's part of our sliders, maybe it's, who our competition is, that kind of thing.
I think some of it is the, I feel like the computer gets more than I get, but I feel it's very much they want the user to go for swats more. Like you need to be in my opinion, you need to be in an ideal position to go for a pick. And there are times where I'm sure you guys have probably seen this. Is let's say, for example, the computer is going to a receiver. You have a maybe a man coverage on them, but there's a safety over the top. You can literally at times watch that safety walk or move perfectly into the spot where the ball's going, and that tells you you need to do a switch real quick and then hold triangle, and he'll get that interception. It's almost a little too clean, a little too perfect. But there are a lot of times like that. If you're just, one-on-one coverage, for example, it's just go for the swat. You're not going to get the pick unless you're clearly in front and clearly have an angle. That's at least my opinion on that.
I mean, I think I've mentioned this on a previous show. Definitely you should be swatting a lot more than you are than you did last year. It makes such a big difference when you're playing against a computer, especially.
EB23 says much improved blocking as far as running the ball. For Dynasty Mode, Team Builder has been improved. You're able to see the rivalry mode created in Team Builder, i.e., name, records, previous game score. Commentators are now saying the names you've edited them to be. So he enjoys the blocking, and he brings up something that they fixed a Team Builder issue, which is something that the Team Builder guys are always saying, we need more fixes, we need more things in. And it sounds like they also did this as a part of the update. The anomaly says it's still not as fun as a football experience as 25 was. I can't play this game offline or online. College football and Madden 26 both have a serious run block logic problem, and he shows in a video here his issues with the blocking. Jerome McCree says, when are we getting the roster update? In the next, I would say within the next 3 weeks, but that's based off just guessing. No word from EA.
I would say at least by the Thursday of week one, which would be the 28th. I would think that would be the latest that we get
Hope you're right. Hope it's tomorrow, but I doubt that. But yeah, I agree with you on
it.
that. Kids are
I'm gonna guess the Tuesday after week after the I'm gonna guess like the Tuesday after that, so
as I wonder if they're waiting to see
after
some a full week of action. Kids are 0918 says there's a uniform bug in Dynasty where if you edit your uniform as the home team, the away team comes out in their home uniform as well. It's been this way since last year. You always have to manually put the away team back to away uniforms. I don't know that I've run into that. I've seen issues, and maybe it's exactly what he's talking about. I've had it happen once. I've seen people in their dynasties have it where like each user has a very much home and away uniform selected, and somehow the game decides, no, one of you is going to be, you're going to see white on white while the other guy is going to see it properly.
It's a different visual for each side, it seems.
I don't know what causes it. I don't know that I've seen his issue specifically, but maybe because I almost always edit home and away, so maybe that's why I don't see it. I go in there and make sure to do it. Yeah, he also adds, I would love for them to add generic runouts or intros for team builder teams. It gets really old in Dynasty coming out to the kickoff play selector. I can totally see that point. I would love for them to add the ability to assign a playbook to your coach so you don't have to constantly switch between your custom playbooks depending on what Dynasty you open. That playbook should carry over to formation subs as well.
Yeah, that is pretty frustrating. So you can set it in the top level settings to set your playbook, whether it's a custom or a regular or whatever. And when you kick off, yeah, it'll be there. But at the same time, you can't change it within the dynasty, and you couldn't have one per, dynasty. So if one's a, triple option and another's an air raid, you're gonna have to select back and forth between the two somehow. So yeah, it can be kind of frustrating to do that.
He adds blocking is still not where it needs to be, especially on the edge and second to third level. Dynasty, a solid attempt at fixing the player archetypes. However, some positions still do not scale abilities. Vertical threat tight end cannot get takeoff due to requiring wide receiver speed.
But should a vertical tight end really get takeoff?
I could maybe see it. I mean, it wouldn't be as fast of a takeoff as a wide receiver, but at the same time, they shouldn't have to get like 96 acceleration on it. Or I don't know, maybe they should, but yeah, I mean, I think the takeoff for a tight end should be different than a wide receiver, but both of them should be able to have it.
Says, would love the ability to add create a playbook inside the dynasty instead of backing out every time you want to change, add, or switch up your custom playbooks depending on or audibles. Also, the ability to customize the order of formations and plays.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you like me where you kind of the perception of this, it's already been baked into the cake, like they're never going to go back and fix that? Am I hate to say
I
never
mean,
and sell them short, but that's my perception or belief.
They had it a long time ago. I don't remember what year, but then I think even after that they lost it. But you could set, order your formations, you could order your plays and everything like that. And to me, that was awesome. And there was no reason not to have that. It shouldn't be difficult to code. It shouldn't be difficult to store the data. So I don't know why they wouldn't add that.
And last year, that we didn't have that issue where onside kicks defaulted to the first page. Obviously, I don't think, we did. We still couldn't order the playbooks, but at the same time, there weren't as glaring issues as there are this year with it when you're using a custom playbook.
Speaking of, I learned a new one this week. I was creating a new custom playbook, and if you're too fast adding or removing plays, so for example, I removed a bunch of formations out of an existing playbook, and so I started to add new formations. If you try to add one play at a time, if you press X and then immediately press down to the next play, it won't save it. It'll show the check mark, but when you go to another formation, it won't have saved that. You have to press X, wait for the little check sound to play after half a second, then go down and it'll save your changes. So it was very frustrating. I was, I probably made the same change 10 times before I finally realized what it was doing.
Wow. You got to take your time with those custom playbooks. You can't get in a
Yeah,
hurry.
absolutely. Yep.
Talent says game took a step backwards. All they needed to do was bake on house call. Richard Perry says, I would like when I take control of the corner to not be moved or not allowed to get in a good position to make a play on the ball. I get that sometimes too. I don't know if it's me or the computer or both. Kids are too many players bump into each other while running routes or defending. Some plays are unplayable due to route spacing and bumping. I have the clip. I need to upload this. Two defenders, it wasn't even like they collided. It's like one was here and one came at each other, and they both were kind of like Mario running into each other as the receiver just literally ran by both of them before they could figure out how to separate and go after him. Like there was no animation to be like, hey, we shouldn't be touching each other. Just put our arm up and push away. So
Yeah.
I totally get that issue.
Yep. Absolutely. It happens, and especially if your running back's trying to break through the line to run the route, they'll get stuck behind offensive line, which that happens in real life, but they also have a way to get around that.
Right. Tyron Leonard says manual progression bug. The game tells you you don't have enough points to spend when you do. I'm hoping this is fixed in the next update. I hope so as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, especially now that we're getting to the off season.
Kids are should add more coaching offers at the end of the year. Do you think if Kirby Smart wanted to leave UGA, he would only have four offers? It kind of ties in what we talked about last week, where you should be able to throw your hat in the ring to get more offers and more realistic offers. There's just so much with the carousel that needs a lot of work.
I agree, but at the same time, I've seen too many higher end coaches leaving for like I saw this the other day, and then I saw it happen in our I saw it mentioned the other day, and then I saw it happen in our dynasty. Steve Sarkisian every year leaves Texas to go to Michigan because Michigan almost always is open, and Steve Sarkisian decides that that's where he wants to be. To me, I guess it could happen, but I don't think there should be very often that a top tier program loses a top tier coach.
If it's not the alma mater, especially.
Right, especially. Yeah. And then to that point, I saw a lot of coaches leave their alma mater to go to a school that is about the same equivalent. I don't remember where he went, but Matt Campbell, he left Iowa State to go to Kentucky. Okay. Maybe you want to be in the SEC, but at the same time, I don't see it very much. I also saw Greg Schiano leave Rutgers, and I don't remember where he ended up, but it wasn't some big leap forward. So it's I'm not sure why that's happening, but to me, I would think they would want to stay at their alma mater.
Well, unless you're Scott Frost.
Are they going to have to code in backstories for some of these guys so you don't get some of these weird stories? I know that doesn't solve all of the ones you've mentioned, but for example, I'm just thinking like Shunnell leaving a Rutgers. I've seen that in a dynasty. I've seen the Heupel get hired to be the head coach at Oklahoma. Not saying that couldn't happen, but just given on the kind of the history there, probably wouldn't happen. Same with Lincoln Riley. People have seen him go to Oklahoma in their dynasties as well. Maybe that needs code in
Yep.
the background. Maybe that shouldn't happen.
But then I've also seen coaches that seem to be going, for example, Arkansas State, I just hired their head coach to be my offensive coordinator. One of the top candidates for Arkansas State to replace him is the DC at Missouri, who was at Arkansas State and his assistant at one time. So it's almost like there is some tie in there, but that may just be coincidental.
Kidzer says, fix stadium pulse audibles. I can't tell my halfback who is right next to me who to block. This was advertised as a feature. It doesn't work as nearly well as it should. That has been a big issue that people don't like. They don't like that logic. EA did say, well, it's supposed to be easier to do audibles with your halfback because they're closer. I because I've
Well, to
never
me,
tested enough to see that.
it's easier, but you still often have to do it twice. Like the first time they won't hear you, but then the second time they will. So whereas before they would never hear you.
Fix coach suggestions for custom playbooks. Suggest field goal when appropriate and correct kickoff instead of always defaulting to onside kick, which is kind of what JB was talking about earlier. Toxic Redneck 44 says, I ain't played since Madden dropped, to be honest. Again, not the only one who said that. Kids are tuned down. The auto false starts inside of 5 seconds of the play clock. Should not happen every time. That is extremely frustrating. I don't know how many times you guys have seen it, but that is
Yeah.
very frustrating.
I think honestly it comes from the like especially as a user, if you're tapping X too much, that's gonna kind of rush and somebody's gonna get a false start. So if you press X and then press X again and then press X again, then maybe it won't be as bad. But I that's just a hypothesis.
It's kind of like when you're doing the jet sweep last in 25, it'd be 9 times out of 10 it'd be a holding call on it.
Yeah, in terms of overplayed results, yeah. And Bob Martin, he wraps up saying, I've won two natties in College World 26, and I'm currently elite ranked on Madden, almost saying his both games are ass. I'm just quoting him here.
Ass.
EA yet again scammed. It's so many things wrong with both games. I can't even keep up. So he's probably not going to leave it a 10 out of 10 Metacritic score.
It's where, a monopoly is not the best thing.
Yeah, there's advantages and disadvantages of a large company having it.
Yeah, definitely. I could see, if there is competition, you've got to keep up with that competition. So, I mean, I understand that schools and everyone don't want to work with two different companies, but at the same time, it's better for the fans in the end. One of the things that kind of came out this week, especially, was the let's call it drama. That happened between fans complaining about the college football game and as well directed specifically at developers. It seemed like a lot of people came out of the woodwork almost to start complaining, and especially part of it was around the Madden launch, but then also a lot of college football fans were also complaining directly at the developers. It seemed like basically even when the developers were posting personal tweets like fans of certain teams or something like that, they were still getting lambasted about how the game is awful and kind of calling them out on it.
Or even just game questions.
Yeah, well, in some game questions, yes, but I mean, I guess the vocal minority was those that were truly kind of going overboard from what I could see. Kind of what did you guys see and what do you think?
Think EA's got kind of a mess on their hands. I don't think they try to give the long story short, or maybe the short story long here of I don't think they know how to interact with the community. I don't think they necessarily, top to bottom, want to interact with the community. I think there are some individuals that do. Top to bottom, I don't think so. I think that for a lot of companies, though, it's not solely EA. I think that for a lot of video game companies, I think that for a lot of companies I deal with that are far from the video game industry, that something has happened over time to where there's almost a, and I'm not saying this for any EA developer in particular here, but I think there's almost a disdain at times for the customers or who they have to deal with. And I know they have to put up with a lot of stuff, no matter what business you are. You don't go into business or go into a job where you deal with public and can just ignore that. It's a double-edged sword. Should they take the abuse and criticism? No. Do they have to expect and realize that's going to happen? Yes. And it feels like there's nobody. I think what upsets the community a lot of times is that they feel like they're not being heard. And if you feel like you're not being heard, you're more willing to go over the top because you think, well, they're not listening anyway. So why not just go over the top and fly off the handle and say things? They're not going to read it or see it anyway. I think that's a lot of EA's problem is that. And it goes almost to the point of last week where we bring up all those details that are missed in the game, broke in the game, get added to the game and then broke again, or so on. And the thought is, we read this stuff from people on Reddit, take it with a grain of salt, that the QA plans and changes is some of the why we have these problems. But then we wonder, well, if they're the self-proclaimed sickos and play this game, they should catch some of this stuff. So it's easy to say to yourself, okay, yeah, there's probably individuals who are really into that and really want to be great. Top to bottom, I don't know if I believe it for the company. And I think that's a lot of it, is that if you're not being heard, it's way easier to go off the fly off the handle. But it's not, I'm not trying to rant or rave, and you guys can drop in any time here. It's not the developer's job necessarily to interact. I think there are some that want to. I think there's some that currently do that want to. I think there's some in the past that wanted to, but they took the abuse because they were the only ones people could get a hold of. So it's almost like they shot the messenger. So it's a mess. I don't know who. I mean, right now, one of us could, or somebody in the community could come to us right now in the DMs and say, I found this game-breaking bug. All you have to do is these simple commands or controls, and the game crashes, and you can do it every time. Do you have any faith, you guys, that one, you would know who to contact, two, they would respond, three, they would act on it?
Well, it doesn't help that they did a lot of high stepping leading up to the game. And at launch, a lot of high stepping. Now all of a sudden, they're getting into their turtle shell now, for some reason, after
Yeah, I mean
all that
that was the
pomp
pattern
and
last year,
circumstance.
and then also they repeated the pattern this year. I mean, yes, they're quick to celebrate their wins, but they don't want to hear about any of their losses. So, yeah, I mean, to me, I think there's twofold ways to approach it. One, they have to be more open somehow. I'm not saying as developers on their personal accounts, but somehow someone, some way has to be more open about what's going on with the game. And yes, this is what we're working on, and these are the patches we're working to address, or whatever. I know we've heard arguments that because EA is a publicly traded company, they can't release as much information. But at the same time, Microsoft is a publicly traded company. They have a full roadmap that highlights all of this, the new features that are coming out in the next 6 months. Obviously, they keep some things for themselves, but at the same time, if you have a big issue, odds are it's probably, looking to be addressed there. So again, that to me, that's not an excuse. EA can publicize that if they want to. So to me, they need a roadmap. But secondly, I think the developers or anybody who wants to represent EA should have a secondary account. Don't use your personal account as the voice. Use like an EA dedicated account that is specifically for you, that you can ask questions, you can interact. And if somebody does reach out to your personal, you can say, I'm not here for that. Reach out to this account or something. Obviously, you're still going to get it. It's still going to happen. You're still going to hear some of the worst of people, but at least you have a way to direct them. And then you can say, hey, take a look at the roadmap. This is, what we're looking at.
Well, don't they also have, I'd have to look through the game credits, like community manager or community liaisons or communication specialist, insert your title of choice here. Shouldn't they be taking some of these bullets or put their face forward? Why, historically, does Clint have to take all the bullets, or why does Scott have to take all the bullets? I mean, just
Well,
because they're the ones visible ones, do they sometimes
back
ask
when
for
we
it? Maybe a little
were.
bit, but who's taking the bullets from? There's people on payroll who are supposed to interact with the community. Where are they?
Yeah, because back when we were game changers, you absolutely knew who the managers were. They were, Justin Doule and Andrew
AJ
Johnson.
and Will Kinsler before him.
And Will Kinsler, yeah, they made themselves known. They made themselves public facing. Is there a community manager for college football? I don't even know if there's a community manager for Madden.
There is one for college football, but they don't talk college football. And I'll just leave it at that. I'll just leave it at that. I'm
Jesus.
gonna bury the guy.
So the guy's just piss poor at his job then.
I don't know that. I don't know what goes on. I don't know what the job
Because if we
description
don't know
is.
who he is, if the public doesn't know who he is, then what that says that he's not doing a good job serving the community.
Again, it doesn't have to be on his account, but somebody on an official account needs to be talking to the community one way or another. Open up a Reddit thread and start, give us your feedback on the patch or something like that. Do it as an official account. Don't do it as a, hidden account that, oh, I think that's EA because of their past post history or whatever. Do it on an official account and start asking questions and open up the discussion instead of just hiding behind the curtain and oh, I don't want to hear anything bad about it. But hey, the game is great. Did you know that? To me,
then
it's
we'll re and then we'll and
retweet.
then we'll retweet with a smart ass comment and
They do a little bit of this on the EA forums where they have people who are, EA underscore Kent, I believe, is one of the names, but I don't know who that is. It's one of those, and the EA forums are kind of a mess, and that's not any offense to the users there, just the format and structure of those forums. It's very difficult to find things.
Yes,
Yep.
and
That doesn't
forums
help.
are basically archaic now,
If they're not managed or organized properly, yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Like Reddit is great for finding stuff, and seeing some big things at a time, but it, like we talked about last show, it's very easy for that stuff. If you're not living on there, you can miss a lot. It's almost like an inside joke on Twitter. If you're not there the day it spawned, you come back a day or two later, you have no clue what people are talking about. And that's how I view Reddit. A lot of great people, a lot of great stuff, but the format and structure does not lend itself to finding the issues on EA side.
Yeah, it's very, they're all very much point in time. It's like, what is going on right now, not what's going on last month. I mean, you can still go and look for those and find those if you really are curious, but at the same time, it's hard to drive that conversation that way. So, forums, again, unless you structure them in the right way, you're also going to have the same exact issue. When I go out to EA's forums, if I look for anything, like the top posts over the past month, you're not going to find anything. It's very difficult to find anything, at least for me. So yeah, I mean, again, there's got to be an official channel. There's got to be actual ways to be able to take feedback from the community and at least pretend as though you're listening to us.
I think the problem is now is that nobody knows what's going on behind closed doors. You could convince yourself they're doing nothing, or convince yourself that this next update is going to have everything fixed. It's going to be great. All these bugs are going to be gone. But I think the history of what we have now over a year plus is that some things will get fixed, some new things will get broken, or some things will revert back to how they used to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tommy, last show, I didn't plan on this becoming a tradition, but I think maybe with all the game issues.
It might be a weekly segment.
We might need to end the show with like bugs of the week, and whether it be new ones we have found or new ones that the community has found. So Tommy, I've wrote a bunch of little ones, but I didn't bring them with me. So I'm gonna let you, Tommy. You said you have another list. Let's do it. We needed some music for it though, or an opening for
Yeah,
it.
we
I'll
need an
work on that for next week.
official sponsor or something like that.
Yeah, Orkin, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Raid.
So some of these were pre-patch. Most of them are post-patch. One of them is the non-player controlled receivers and offensive linemen will literally stop in their tracks downfield and just start casually walking around the field
Yeah, I've seen that one.
instead of blocking somebody. And that could be the one player that if they block somebody, you could break a big play or something like that.
You
So.
think that's realistic though? Maybe they made a business decision, or is it just I know what you're
No,
talking about,
no,
because like
it's
they're going and then they just go into this weird gate animation.
yeah, it's not a business decision. It's
Yeah.
a yeah, it's a I mean it would be one thing if they were injured and like you saw them go down or something like that, but the fact that they just start walking casually around like they're on the sidelines or something like that, it's very strange.
Okay, keep them coming.
During encouraged transfers, this is a minor one, but it's annoying. During encouraged transfers, the players are default sorted by speed, not by overall. So you have to then turn around and sort them by overall.
Can I ask, this isn't a bug here per se, at least not really to the new patch. Refresh my memory on the bowl schedule in Dynasty mode, didn't it previously always default sorting by the date, and this year now it's defaulting to, it's sorting the bowls by alphabetical, and that's a new
Yes.
thing this year that I understand why somebody might want to do that, but as a user I'm thinking it needs to go by date, so you understand the priority of a bigger bowl game versus early season bowl game or early bowl season game.
And I don't think there's a way to sort it at all
There's not,
either.
I tried that.
So,
Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah,
somebody changed that thinking that was better, and it's not, it's to me it's not correct.
I agree. At least give me the option to sort it. Sort it by team or sort it by date or whatever. But yeah, give me some ways to do it.
All right, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh no, let's keep them coming. One was a big post on Reddit from Flexed Up Playa, all one word.
That's not me.
It's okay. He highlighted that the different run animations that once you get into a sprint, they just start into a choppy pumping the legs. I think it depends upon if you edit them or something like that. I'm not sure exactly how it is, but it looks awful. So if you're not in a standard run animation, it looks awful.
That isn't is that the bug that pushing Peter with 3 R's put on Twitter a few weeks ago It got massive traction. The way I understand it, maybe it's two different issues. Basically, if you change the run animation, or once you get into what is it? Get into like year two, especially if they don't have the default animation, their running animation is almost like it's shortened or something. So they look like they're running in hyper mode, but yet they're not like they're power walking at full speed, if that makes sense. So I think that's
That's
what you're
exactly
talking
it.
about. Okay, that's the one that Pushing Peter, who is a member of the community, so I'm gonna give him all the credit. Him and Flexed Up Playa
It
would
may
be
be the
great.
same guy, but yeah.
Should be.
But yeah, they're go out on
It's a bad
Reddit,
one.
go out on Twitter, it's out there and it's frustrating.
Yeah, year two and on, all those guys are running really, very weird. So I can't wait for year two. I
Oh
can't
yeah.
wait.
This one's happened to me. I saw somebody complain about it recently. The game injury notification, it keeps popping up play after play after play, even after you've acknowledged it and
I've
said
had that.
substitute the player or whatever.
I've had it for a full game before.
Yep.
That's
The
fun.
only way I've found to get rid of it is to Super Sim one play. So like Super Sim a kickoff or something like that, and then after that it's gone. So
I
yeah,
noticed
it's
that I'm going to mix it up here, but like on offense, you could, hit sub or whatever. But when you're on defense, maybe I got it backwards, but anyway, on one side of the ball, you couldn't do anything. The button press did not respond to the menu. The menu did not respond to the button press. So you're basically at the line of scrimmage, and that injury thing is still on the screen.
I haven't seen that one, but yeah, don't doubt it.
Okay, count yourself lucky.
Next one, if you're in the depth chart and you make changes, but then hit triangle or R3 to view the stats or view the player's card, when you go back, the changes you made are lost, but there's no way for you to know that. So, like if you make a change at quarterback, then go look at your running backs and look at stats. And then go back, the change at quarterback is gone, but you don't realize that because it's on another screen. So the only way to do that is make your changes in depth chart, back out to the menu, and then either go into depth chart or roster, either one. I recommend just going into roster. Don't hit R3 or triangle within the depth chart.
Is that one of those that I can almost understand why that happens? Would EA need to add a button at the bottom to save as you're playing? I don't think we want it to auto save, but maybe at least an option at the bottom to push in L3. If I'm just throwing out an example here to make it save. I actually understand why that happens.
I do too, but
But that's frustrating for the user. If you can do everything in that menu, it should remember your changes.
Don't give me the option to do that in the depth chart if that's the case. You know, just make it to where you have to go to the roster, to where you can't make any changes anywhere. So,
Makes sense.
as a coordinator, and I saw this very early on, I haven't tested it recently, but I've seen other people complaining about it this week. When you get to the off season and you do persuade to try to convince players to come back, your chances don't reset year over year. So if you use
I've
all
seen that.
10 persuades the first year, the next year you have zero or one or two, something like that.
I've
So
heard of that one. That's a nice one.
yeah. Here's a leftover from not Madden, I'm guessing, because it's not the same game, but the injury timeout, the game clock sh stops if there's an injury. That should not happen in college football. The game clock should automatically restart as soon as they come to the line of scrimmage. Did you know there's an injured reserve as well in college football?
Yeah, Tommy, you found that one, so you got to take the credit on that one.
I just say, yeah, that's something I found very early on, and it's still in there. And that actually just happened to be the next one in my list. So yeah, if you go to injured players and hit X on a player, it'll say, do you want to place them on the injured reserve?
Because the bottom
So
of it says X for more actions. So does the user say, oh, what more actions can I do here?
yeah, to me, it should be, allow them to redshirt or whatever, force a redshirt on them or something. But
But
yeah.
shouldn't the game do that automatically? I mean, if they meet the criteria, just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, but I'm saying more you go ahead and put them on, like if they have 10 weeks or whatever to
I
be
gotcha.
injured and
I
they've only
gotcha.
played three, you put them on red shirt and then you
And
don't
just be
have to
done
worry
with
about
it.
them coming back on the roster or something like
Got it.
that.
Okay, I gotcha. That does make sense. That would be a good idea.
I discovered this week. The team needs quick view has the wrong number of targets at a position. In my case, it showed that I had three targets at a QB for QB, but I really only had two targets. If you go to the full view, it has the correct information.
Oh, you're saying so at the new banner they added this year is wrong,
Yes,
but if you go to the regular one, it's right. Isn't that because
correct.
I've seen people debate on why this happens or talk about why this happens. Is it because it's counting, like if you get a commit from one, it counts them twice. It counts them as a commit and a regular player or still on the board. Is that the issue, or is there something else counting it wrong?
That makes sense because yeah, in those cases I did have I did have commits at those positions. So that makes sense, but at the same time it doesn't make sense.
It shouldn't be that way, even though I
Yeah.
understand the even though why it's broke. Did they fix the team needs on the full screen this year where it actually adds the columns correctly? Because last year the number at the bottom for a lot of those columns did not add up properly.
I
And I
haven't
wish I had that in front of
checked.
me to tell you, but
Yeah.
like I think it was like say for example, offensive players, like it couldn't add them all up properly. It said like one. You have like might have 11 players that you're offering or on your board, and then at the bottom like it said like I don't remember, let's say one, for example.
Yep.
That's why I knew, okay, this is a joke. Quit using this. They can't add properly.
Well, and then the other thing is if you go to the full view, if you're in the recruiting search screen, it resets all your filters. So if you go to the full screen and then come back to the recruits list, it resets all your filters. So it's, frustratingly slow if you have to go to that full screen.
Have you seen this is something that since 1.007 in recruiting, I've had two or three times where, and I don't remember what caused any of those times, but I will lose the ability to do anything within recruiting. I cannot hit X on a player. I cannot use L1, R1 on the tabs. The only thing I can do is hit circle to back out. And when I go back in, it's fine. And because in our mentions today on the Gaming Tailgate, Bert, the Hurt Neptune CFB, he actually brought up first and he said, anyone else seeing this? And I responded, said, yeah, man, I thought I was the only one. I've not seen this anywhere else. He said he and his friends in a dynasty are all having this issue.
I've never
I
seen it. I've not seen it myself, but I saw people on Reddit complaining about it. And the hypothesis was if you press circle to back out, but then say no, don't back out,
That's the first time I had. That's right.
then that's at that point you can't make any changes. You
You're gonna finish the stream.
basically
Yeah.
need to go ahead and just back out
The
all the
game
way and
thinks you
then come
left,
back
so
in.
it bailed on you.
Exactly.
He says that he thought it was weekly, usually after they change the sorting. I usually don't. I guess it depends what sorting you're talking about. I usually just go by position. I don't use any the sort filter or at the bottom.
Yeah,
But
I'm
you're
not
right.
sure.
Well, you're right. The first time I saw it was when I did back out, but I know the other times were not that. So there's
Okay.
other things causing it. All
Yep.
right, keep rolling.
The next couple of ones are ones we've already touched on, but it's still worth mentioning here. In Road to Glory, if you select See More Plays, all of your play options disappear. To me, that's it. To me, it's
That's a
huge.
massive bug. That should have been fixed by now. Sorry.
Yes. No, I completely agree. The other one I mentioned earlier, in if you're editing your custom playbook, if you press X and then quickly go down to the next line, it doesn't save your click. Even though it shows the check marks, it doesn't actually save it for you. So you have to press X, wait a half a second, and listen for the little click indicator noise, and then go on down. So
Things are
yeah.
running on 486 desktops, apparently.
It makes you wonder sometimes what's going on behind the scenes in this game.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And then lastly is it has to do with the archetype grades for playing style. I posted this on our Discord, but I haven't seen very many people talking about it. But in my case, at halfback, the East-West receiver, it calculates zero receptions, even though, of course, my team has receptions. And then for every team that's in view, their grade is just a dash. No letter grade or anything like that. Like everybody is on the same level because everybody has zero in theory. However, my north-south running back receiver has 30 for an A minus. So it's like they're just ignoring that for the east-west receiver.
Aren't there several of those that are bugged like that in some
Yeah,
regards?
that yeah, absolutely. Outside
Actually, like a bunch of
linebacker's
them.
signal caller calculates total tackles for an F grade, while outside linebacker thumper calculates an A plus grade. So it's like they're reversed. The correct one is the outside linebacker thumper. The signal caller should also be an A plus in this case.
Isn't team prestige also getting calculated wrong? I've seen people on Reddit and X talk about how they've won titles, for example, and they still can't get their program promoted outside of like a 4-star. I'm just paraphrasing numbers here, but something along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've even seen people complaining that they won it as a 5-star and dropped a half a star or
That's, yeah,
something
I've
like
seen that
that.
too. I've seen that mention.
It definitely there's something wrong there. For safety box specialist, the this is not a huge one, but for example, the for the defensive run yards per game, It shows 3 rush yards per game for an A plus. However, the defensive tackle pure power calculates 71 rush yards for an A grade. So they're both the same exact statistic, have different values and a different grade. So yeah, explain that one to me.
That
For kicker, both power and accurate, it calculates a 0 points per game for a D plus grade.
I've seen that one.
And then, but then the grading somehow, it still calculates grading, even though everyone has 0 points per game, but it seems somehow to be related to alphabetical because the U schools have 0 points per game, have an A plus. The T schools have an A grade. Again, 0 points per game. So
It's really pumped the wrong column somewhere. Like it's.
yeah, exactly. Yep.
That's the problem is that that ties into so much stuff. Like
Yeah,
that's almost the
absolutely.
core of your recruiting in Dynasty mode in a lot of regards.
Yep.
Wow.
One to kind of leave it on, and this is just kind of a highlight of, and this has probably been wrong since last year and didn't really get called out for it. EA recently announced that they fixed the spread, I think shotgun spread personnel. It used to be 11 personnel, and now they fixed it to 10 personnel, which to me, I think that makes sense. However, just today, I've discovered that 5 wide receiver trio has 11 personnel. And even though the name is called 5 wide receiver, there is no way to get 5 wide receivers on the field at the same time.
That's interesting.
The personnel is completely all wrong. Instead, if it's 11 personnel, you can get to 10 or 01 personnel, but there's no way to get to 5 wide or 0 personnel.
Wow.
So yeah, again, I'll start my list again starting tomorrow, and probably after the next patch, we'll add more to it. But yeah, it becomes frustrating.
With that, we'll wrap up this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. Send us your feedback, podcast at thegamingtailgate.com. Leave us a 5-star review. For Jeremy and Tommy, this is CBJ. Everyone, thank you for watching and listening to this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.